exes live in Texas. That's been stuck in my head ever since.
You're not
got old
enough to have exes.
Sure I am. I'm 17. Man.
This is a real problem, folks.
What is?
It's you guys that have daughters like Taylor.
Like
you're
me.
Over there just shaking your head.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's, man. Oof. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Why do you think?
Well, I mean.
Daughters like mine.
Yeah,
daughters
well,
like Taylor.
Yeah. The outdoor type. You know, you're not afraid to do anything. And
is that a bad thing?
No, it's. I didn't say it was a bad thing. It's just very tiring sometimes. That's all.
Oh, excuse me.
It is.
Excuse me.
Congratulations to Hank Cherry.
Back-to-back
classic winners. It was a good week in Texas.
Oh, it was.
We had a ball. Now you and Mom, we started out last Tuesday, drove out to stopped in Vicksburg, mm-hmm. which was a neat, you know, it's just far enough to not get tired of the road, but get close.
Right.
Luckily there was a McAllister's deli close to the hotel. It was just a you know, right there, and McAllister's has always got good food. Mm-hmm. Light food, especially if you're tired of eating out. We were already tired of eating out on Tuesday for some reason or another.
And
food was an issue this trip.
If you know me, I cook out, something like that. I love eating like fast food, and that's really not good. But I do. And I never really thought I could get tired of eating out, but especially by driving home Sunday and Monday, I was like, somebody get
me. We were
me,
all
like,
that way, yeah.
Like something homemade, a
homemade
salad,
anything.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't think. Did you eat this week?
Not much.
I didn't
can
even
assure you that.
I was like,
I'm living off my hump.
Good
living
gracious.
Off my camel hump.
Anyway, continue. Yes, Vicksburg.
Yeah, Vicksburg. Got up next morning. Drove to Greenwood, Louisiana, which is just on the other side of Shreveport. Mm-hmm. And that's where I jumped in the car with Neil Paul from Visit Anderson. He and I went on into Fort Worth, you and Mom. And this was kind of fun because normally when Mom tags along with us, she enjoys this stuff. Don't get me wrong. Debbie, my wife, has supported this show, and she enjoys going and doing with us as much as she can. A lot of times she is here with the dog. While you and I go, this time I took the dog actually to Chester, and Ken and Joy Fleming, my hunting mentor when I was growing up, they raised German Shorthairs, and they took Sophie in and for the week and said she did absolutely wonderful, might have lost a few pounds hanging out with the bird dogs, and being in the country, and I don't know, she's kind of back to her old habits already.
Yeah,
she's laying over here asleep on the floor.
She's still whooped from
yeah.
this last week.
She hasn't moved, Sophie. Sophie.
Sophie.
She might be dead. Sophie. Oh, there an ear moved. Okay.
Oh,
we're still
no.
alive.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Oh, yeah. Stretch. That's all we get.
So it was nice to have, nice to know that Sophie was, you know, hanging out with a bunch of other good dogs and having fun over in the farm. And so y'all went down to
Magnolia,
Texas, not to the Fixer Upper place.
No, not the Fixer
yeah,
Upper place, yeah.
But you have a friend that lives in Texas?
I do, and she just recently had hip surgery, and I had already planned on going out there before her surgery was scheduled, and then it made it even better. You know, y'all might think, why would it make it better if she had hip surgery? Because she has been holed up in her house.
Right.
And she's had some visitors, but I was happy to come. I haven't seen her since December. So that was a fun little trip. You know, it was worth the missing everything, like media day.
Media day and all, yeah.
But
to be.
Next year, I'll be out there. Don't
yeah.
worry.
And Debbie, my wife, she lived for several years in Spring, Texas, which is down just north of Houston. So she got to go. She took you around to all the high school haunts and
oh,
all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And got to hang out with a few friends down there.
Saw the place where she almost killed everybody in her driver's ed car.
Yeah. Heard that story before. Yeah. Yes. and then while I was doing media day on Thursday and marshalling on Friday, I marshaled with Shane LaHue, Baby Shark.
Baby Shark.
And we had a good time. I've got pictures I'm working on for him.
We both
that
got
day.
Pictures we need to post.
Yeah. And then on Friday evening, y'all drove up.
We made it there right after weigh-in?
Yeah, I came in. Well, no, weigh-in was still going in.
Oh.
You got there at 6:10.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And I got back from the lake at 6 o'clock. It was an hour and 20-something minutes from Dickey's Arena to Ray Roberts State Park and a boat launch. So it was a haul up there and back. And they changed the weigh-in options. They actually on Media Day announced the guy from the head of Texas Parks and Wildlife Fisheries announced they were going to weigh all the fish at the lake on Friday and Saturday.
And then bring two.
And then an angler could choose to bring two back to Dickey's. And that was just an effort to keep those fish from being beat up for an hour and a half on the way in.
And it was hot.
It was hot, yeah. 93, 94 was the temperature. You know, the real field was 97, 98. Man, Friday was windy. That wind blew 15 to 20. I mean, there were 3-foot rollers out there. I know because I was out in it. Skeeter boats ride pretty good. I'll admit that. They, you know, Skeeter Yamaha got us around the lake and mostly comfortable. And it was an interesting fishery to watch how they were fishing out there. So that was Friday. Then y'all picked
Saturday.
Me up. By the time I got back to Dickey's, y'all showed up. Yep. We actually moved up to Denton, Texas instead of Fort Worth because there
about
again,
halfway.
Yeah, my wife went to Louisville High School. So she hung out with some of her friends from Louisville on Saturday while you and I went to launch.
Launch Saturday was very interesting.
If y'all saw
either of our social medias, you saw some incredible lightning. The wind rolling across the lake was impressive.
Twice. I mean, the wind rolled across with the first storm, and you had that little backup storm, and it blew, I think, harder in the backup storm than it did in the first one.
And, I mean, everybody thought, first one, once it got through, everybody got their trucks. And
started launching boats.
Yeah, and we got
popped back
five
up again.
What'd you say? It kind of went back around.
Yeah, kind of redeveloped.
People were like,
going back
should
to sleep.
We be out here? So, yeah.
A lot of guys are sleeping in their trucks.
Yep.
And then we did make the way in. We had to go shoot some. I needed a couple pictures for Falcon Bus Boats.
So we got to go out.
So we got on the water and got on Patrick. Saw him catch a couple fish. My 7-year
streak with Brandon
Cobb is still intact. I had an hour to go, and we were on Brandon, and we were getting back to the. I had like 10 minutes to go, and he caught like a 3-pounder. And almost the same time, he goes, streak's alive.
I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
But then that happened. And he before you even said it, he yelled across.
Yeah.
7-year streak.
7-year streak. And that's pretty cool to have that kind of relationship with some of these guys. It's just, we're going to actually go fishing on Greenwood next week.
I might crash y'all's party.
No, you're not going to crash this party.
He said y'all up for a tournament.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
We're going to crush you if you come down there because he knows how to fish it right now. And then got up again Sunday. We did make part of the way in, but we had to go back for a dinner Saturday night. Heartache Barbecue, which is really good barbecue.
Yep.
There are pictures up there for you to look at on social media. And then Sunday, went to launch. Came back, packed everything up, went down and spent the expo, which was pretty good expo considering, this is the first event coming out of COVID for a lot of people. And got to see Hank Parker and some of the other people we always see.
Had my annual talk.
Yeah, had the annual boys talk about boys. And then he
tried to set me up with
his
grandson.
And he showed you pictures of his grandson. I said, Hank, you're not helping anything here at all. And he laughed.
Hank, if you're listening, I love you. I promise I do.
Yeah, we like Hank Parker. He's granddaddy number two.
Yep.
And then weigh-in was really exciting. They did a really good show there in Fort Worth at Dickey's Arena.
Dave Mercer was amazing, as always.
Yeah, I have a picture of Mercer spewing his water out, and it looks like
his
head is exploding. It's a really cool one.
He's
watch for that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to be joined by Matt Airy, who just finished second at the Classic. He's going to spend probably most of the rest of the show with us. We'll have to see. But it's going to be a good show. Hope y'all enjoy it. So let's listen to a little bit of music, and y'all hang out. But that's not the right music. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I hit that button. Oh well.
It's okay. It's a good song.
Well, just let it go. I mean, it's a good one. But this is not the end of the show. This is the first segment. So we'll keep it in the background here. We'll see you after the break. It's early for that, isn't it, Taylor?
I'm not going to say anything.
Well, this is a good song.
You know, I think I'm going to make a big step here, Dad.
Yes.
I think I'm going to get to the point where I just don't say anything about your music.
Right. Well, that's a good step to make, because I'm not going to change.
But that silence should mean that you need to play more.
The problem is that you sit over there and bounce a little bit with it, so I know you enjoy it.
On certain ones.
Yes, on certain ones.
All of them.
Well, welcome back to the second segment of Woods and Water South Conference this Saturday. Of course, Taylor's with me. It is the Saturday after the Bassmaster Classic, and it was a tough one for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of people, it was a really good week, and I reached out to one of those people that had a really good week, and his name is Matt Airy. He's a good friend of ours. In fact, Matt, when I was sitting at weigh-in Sunday, I was getting ready because I was like, this is going to be tight, man. And I was going back through pictures trying to find old pictures, and I ran across that picture from Washington 2015.
Yeah, when I saw that picture, it definitely lifted my spirits a little bit, because as bad, but it lifts my spirits because of the uncomfortable situation you were in and made me laugh about it. But,
well, I didn't think about that, but I'm glad to help out.
Reminiscing about wet crotch. I don't know how else to say it. You just
have, oh, yeah.
You got the wet crotch that day.
I just remember both of us. We got in the boat, started idling out of the state park. We looked at me and says, man, this is going to hurt. That was a storm.
I think it hurts you a lot worse than it did me.
It probably did. But we've laughed about it so much that it was worth it afterwards. Anyway, I think what I told you, I said, Matt, when you get my age, you have to do something like this every once in a while to feel alive.
Yep, I remember that.
So,
and you went and finally spent some money on a good rain suit.
No, actually, AFCO came on board and gave me a rain suit.
There you go. Perfect.
which is even better.
Good rain suit.
Yes.
Oh, no, I have a picture to post, too. Dad went back through, like, when he was finding the old one, and he found one of me and you when I just, like, first started getting into the whole bass circuit.
2016, down at Hartwell.
Was it 2016?
Yeah.
Oh, talk about an awkward picture. Oh, you have something coming for you.
Yeah, she's going to do a side-by-side with you.
Oh, it's ugly. It's so ugly.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah. No, I mean, second place, still a great week. Still a great week for you.
Yeah, it was. It's obviously we work our entire, not just careers, but our entire lives to make the Bassmaster Classic. And when you're there, you just, first time around, and I'm not gonna say the classic. I had been to 10 Forest Wood Cups or whatever, and when you're at a tournament at that level, at that caliber of fisherman, at the top tier of our sport, the first time you go to one, and I'm gonna date it back to the first Forest Wood Cup I qualified to, whenever 2009 or somewhere around there,
and
it can be a little overwhelming and kind of surreal. But literally after that first Forest Wood Cup, anytime I ever made a championship at the tour level again, I wanted to win, and that's all I cared about, and that's all you want to do, and that's all you dream about, and holding that trophy at the end of the week, and making history, and you get close, and you have opportunities, but you got to turn the downs and the ups and keep pushing forward. And overall, second place, great week, great finish. But we were so close. We were so close.
You were so close.
It just makes you want to get back even more. It makes you want to make sure you're there from now until the end of my fishing career. I want to be at every classic every year and at least have that chance and have that opportunity.
Sure.
All right. Sure. Well, going along with the classic theme, as far as you've experienced, what is your best, in your opinion, your best part of the classic and the worst part of the classic?
Well, that's real easy for me. The best part of the classic is having all my family there. All my in-laws, my parents were there, my wife, my girls. That's the best part of the classic. Without them, and I came home, and I don't know if y'all – I think I posted it yesterday evening on Facebook. I drove into my driveway yesterday afternoon at, 2:45, 3 o'clock, when everybody's supposed to be working. And I get down my driveway and I get halfway, I got a we got about an 1800 foot gravel drive that goes back to our house. It sits way off the road, and I kind of come over the last little ridge there, and when I do, there's a big giant banner with about 15 friends
and
family with a Bass logo on it saying welcome home. And back to what I was saying though, with that support team and like people don't understand what that means to a professional angler when we spend so much time away from our families and on the road. And I'm not throwing a pity party. I'm just emphasize how much that means to us, because you know, when you're out there and you have a good tournament, great. It's easy to drive home. It's easy to do this, easy to get back to life, whatever. When you have a bad tournament and those people are there to pick you up. And like I said, this was a good tournament, but they knew what it meant to what it means to win something like that. And they knew, you know, where I was at and mentally and emotionally, and it was a long drive home, but man, that was, there's nothing better. And it, you know, I stopped. I mean, I stopped when I saw it, cause I was just, and I was taken back. And
oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if I said I didn't shed a few tears, cause that's, you know, that's pretty special.
Absolutely. And the worst part would be, would be finishing second of this one anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we, and on this show, we don't subscribe to the Ricky Bobby theory of winning and losing. You know, if you're not first, you're last. It doesn't work that way. Sounds good, but it don't work that way.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how many texts I had, but I did get back to everybody, and one of them was a local buddy of mine who fishes these Moss Lake tournaments, and that actual text said exactly what you just said. It said, if you're not first, you're last. and then he hesitated, and I was like, thanks. And then he said, man, I'm messing with you. Congrats.
Oh, yeah.
And it was close, blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah, it's funny because his first text was like, if you ain't first, you're last.
That's a really good friend.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I guess we're just going to bounce around a little bit here. It's no secret, if anybody watched live, I mean, it's no secret what these guys were using. Matt, tell us exactly how you were fishing it and what you were fishing.
Yeah, a couple primary patterns for me. And you know, one thing that I keyed in on most of the event was I stayed close to the main lake, stayed tight to the main lake. You know, it's summertime. Fish want to be out. Fish want to be in their summertime patterns. But as everybody knows, we had high water situation at Ray Roberts. And it had been high for a good week before we got there, which is always a good thing when it's consistent and it settles and it's stabilized and things like that. And it had done that. And, you know, we even got a little rain right after the unofficial practice ended. Lake came up a few more inches throughout the week. You know, it didn't jump up a whole lot, but the fish were very, very comfortable in that high water at this point when the classic finally started. And, you know, flipping willows, flipping buck brush, you know, a combination of things. But one thing that I had figured out that I was doing a little bit different than some guys was I was getting up a little bit on some of the flatter stuff and frogging it and throwing a frog. So when I flipped the bushes and the willows, the flatter stuff was like it was combinations of different types of grass, like literally like, you know, like little individual patches of hay grass and little individual patches of actual different types of yard grasses. You know, I don't know if there was some fescue up there that was, you know, it was all kinds of different stuff, but it was a good mixture of different grasses. And there weren't that many fish up there, but there was a lot of life up there. There's a lot of minnows up there. Some brim were starting to adjust and kind of slide up into that stuff. You know, there's so much oxygen and so much life and freshly flooded vegetation like that that doesn't normally have any water on it.
Sure.
I think fish just started to kind of slide up a little bit more as the week progressed. And I was able to take a frog, and I used a poppin' style frog when there was a little bit more wind, a little bit more a disturbance on the water. And then I used a Lunker Hunt compact frog, which is a skirted frog, but it's a regular pointed nose frog, a little bit more subtle when it was real slick, you know. Okay. And, of course, I threw it on a 7.5-foot heavy action Lose custom pro rod with a 50-pound P-line braid, TCB braid, and a Lose titanium reel, 7-to-1 gear ratio. And then my jig was actually – I was flipping a tungsten jig, a half-ounce tungsten. It was it's actually a signature jig of mine that's not available yet, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Pictures of it on Bassmaster.com. And it's in the packaging, but it's kind of deceiving because it's in the packaging. People think we have them on the shelves, but we don't yet. We had some, you know, I'm to the point when, you know, if I'm going to build something, I want it to be perfect. And we got a batch of them, and there were some imperfections and things like that. And I said, we're not selling those. You know, we're not putting those in anybody's hand. They're not perfect. We're not selling them. So, there's going to be a little weight on that. But one thing about that jig that makes it a little bit special to me is it's tungsten, first of all. So it's a smaller profile, falls a little bit quicker, especially when you're flipping in those bushes and things.
Okay.
And it's wire tied skirt. It's high quality silicone skirt. It's wire tied. And it's got a 3-0 Gamagatsu jig hook in it. And, you know, people say 3-0, it sounds kind of smaller. Small.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, in Canterbury, myself, a lot of good jig fishermen from the state of Alabama, you know, I've talked about this a lot with guys over the years, and I've caught a lot of jig fish over the years, and so has Canterbury, as you know. And we feel and have proven to ourselves that 3-0 tends those fish better and holds those fish better. And the theory behind that is, you know, the bigger the hook, the bigger the gauge, the bigger the hole you rip.
Sure.
You know, and the more leverage a fish has. It's the same concept of using a wacky worm with a 1-0, you know, Gamagatsu little octopus hook, or going to a straight shank 3-0 hook. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So obviously the fish has more to work with. You could damage the fish's mouth that much more. You could open it up more. And you know, when you pin them with that 3-0 gammy, and that's their gammy jig hook, so it's a pretty good gauge hook.
Okay.
So it's not, doesn't flex and doesn't straighten out easy. But it's just a little bit, just a touch smaller, and I feel like it's the perfect hook to keep them in. And I the only fish I lost all week, I got him hung in the fork of a willow tree and pinned him. he wiggled off. He ripped off. But other than that, I didn't lose a jig fish all week. I did try to boat flip one that I shouldn't have. that was a whole other ball game. But bouncing off the side of the boat, that was the first day of the tournament. That was a big one. But
yeah,
anyway. Other than a couple mental errors, you know, overall execution was pretty good. The last day was a little rough, but those were my two main baits of choice, and pretty much accounted for all the fish I weighed.
You know, it's interesting because I marshaled on Friday, and I recognized the willows, and I kind of the buck brush. I kind of figured out it was everywhere, and that must have been what it is. And I noticed the grass you were talking about. You know, that lake was up so much. You were actually in a lot of grass, and the water was fairly clear up there. I mean, I was surprised how clear the water was, I guess, being up that long. But the grass underneath was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was. And you know, not everywhere could you do this,
yeah.
But something else that I did was guys were flipping the outside edges of a lot of stuff.
Hey, Matt, right? Hang on. Hey,
yes.
We got to take a break.
Yep.
You know, part break. Hang on to that thought. When we come back, start off right there with it.
Gotcha.
All right, y'all hang on. Back with more Woods and Water in a second with Matt Airy. And welcome back to another segment of Woods and Water South Carolina. Taylor's with me. We got second place finisher at the Classic, Matt Airy, and I'm sure Matt's going to get tired of hearing that second place, but second place in bass fishing, that's a hard thing. You know, winning is just one position harder than getting second place, Matt.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way.
I mean, somebody told me a long time ago that bass fishing is the losingest sport you'll ever participate in.
I'm not going to disagree with that statement at all. Trust me, I've lost a lot more than I've won.
that's it. I mean, you're a very good fisherman, and it's still that tough to put it all together over 3 or 4 days and win. It's just hard to do.
Yeah, I think you said it right there. Multiple day events. That's the key, being able to put it together for multiple days.
Yeah,
because that's what guys are good, because they make adjustments every day, because you have to
every hour,
and you know, you can chalk it up to experience. You can chalk it up to whatever you want. But these guys, you know, that's all they do their entire lives, every year, all year, every time they're on the water. It's no different than a basketball player going out there to the court every day and practicing the shot. So these guys know they know how to. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can mess up, and it's execution ways. And guys, you know, you hear guys. Local buddies of mine, like, man, I finished fifth in the BFL. I should have won, and I had to fish on the wind 12 times. Well, 12 times, you know, 5 times or 7 times or whatever, you know, we all lose fish, right?
Sure.
Obviously, I proved that this past weekend, but, and we all make mental mistakes, but there's a lot of little things that you can do through experience to increase your chances of landing every fish that bites and making the right decisions on the water and making the right adjustments at the right time. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do in it. And, you know, that goes back to just practice, man, and experience and time on the water.
That's it. And I probably lost our whole train of thought about the grass thing, but you were starting to say something when we went to break about the grass.
Yeah. So the grass that, you know, it wasn't everywhere that you could slide up on some of the flatter stuff and fish in behind. And I'm saying behind because that was the key for me. The final day, I actually caught my biggest fish on the backside of a stretch of bushes and willows where guys weren't actually fishing. They were staying on the outside of that stuff. Now there again, if you were on a hard bank line, you couldn't get to the backside of it, but there are places where there were big flats where you know, there'd be an outside line where it made a point or whatever, and you could slide up on the flat and fish the backside of those willows or bushes and the grass that was up on the flat. So I was trying to monitor kind of what a lot of the guys in the tournament was doing because I knew that as the tournament progressed, I was going to have to figure out, A, either a different way to catch them because of the pressure, or B, a completely different approach on exactly what type of cover and where the cover was that I was going to be fishing. So, you know, I tried to make adjustments and from that aspect to be able to tap into some fish that maybe not everybody had thrown at that week, you know.
An effect did that rain delay on Saturday morning have on you?
Well, it actually helped me. I'm not going to say it helped me because there was an early morning bite, and I'm not going to say a shadspawn bite. I was not on a shadspawn bite. A couple guys reported shadspawn bites. Shadspawn was not in my game plan because it's not something I wanted to rely on. It's not something I wanted in my game plan. If I stumbled across it, great. If not, I didn't want to have to worry about it because this is a fickle time of year for a shadspawn.
Right.
And fickle meaning we're at the tail end of it. Things are heating up. It's getting warm. A lot of the fish, you know, are starting to move around in the summer type patterns. You know, we had high water. You've got storms potentially. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into not making that a main part of my plan. And obviously, guys were able to a handful of guys were able to capitalize on it, but not many. So when we had that storm delay, you know, I was probably one of the few in the field that was very comfortable sitting in my truck for an extra 2 hours in the parking lot. Because I was not, you know, freaking out about not getting to a shadspawn bite. You know, I was fishing a lot of the similar type areas, but I was fishing for those fish after they were done feeding in the morning and they were set up in certain ambush spots.
And that rain delay was kind of fun. I was just chilling in the passenger seat. You know, I mean, walked into Brandon Cobb's truck,
woke everybody up.
They're all asleep, and I was like, well, dang, I knew everybody was asleep. I just gone to sleep myself.
I wish I'd have known that they were gonna do that about 30 minutes before we got up at 3 o'clock that morning.
Yeah
It would have been nice.
Impressive lightning display though.
Oh my word.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I saw some phenomenal pictures on Bassmaster's website.
Incredible.
So over the week, I know a lot of people had tough days. It was a tough tournament, but one of the toughest things in a tournament, and I know you can side with me on this, is losing a fish. And you had some two fish that really did a number that you lost over those 3 days. Tell us about what happened there.
Yeah, well, so there was two key fish that, you know, that unfortunately would have won the Bassmaster Classic for me had I landed both for sure. More than likely, one or the other would have done it, but. The first one was literally like my second or third cast of the morning, and it was on a frog, and I had a giant fish wake off of patchback grass. We were talking about Roger, and you can see the fish porpoise, and you could tell it's a giant, and it eats my frog going right to left, and it's going super fast. I mean, just 100 mile an hour when it ate it, and I set the hook, and I felt like I got a good hook set in it.
Yeah,
and it takes off to the left real hard, and for whatever reason, just pulls off. You know, and that happens, and
sure,
you know, that was rough because that was my first bite of the morning, and. You know, final day of the Bassmaster Classic, and you lose one, and I don't know how big it was. I'm gonna say five to 6 pounds, just roughly, guesstimate. And that's seeing the wake and the porpoise and the back of the fish and all that. So, you know, I got over that one. Not long after that, I actually caught like a 2-pounder, and then I caught a 5-pounder, in the same area, and that kind of got my head back right there for a little bit. So, I was able to kind of. You know, buckle down and focus and you know, regain some composure because that's, like I said, that was a tough loss. But I knew I knew it wasn't my fault. It just wasn't meant to be. So
right.
Later in the day, I had a I had an opportunity to really big fish, and about a 4.5 pounder is what I'm figuring it was. And Bassmaster got some really good footage of that blow up, and they got it twice actually. They played it in slow motion.
Oh, great.
Second time around.
Rub it in
So you can
harder.
see the fish. Yeah, it's a big one, and it comes up, and I was, y'all know how hot it was that final day, and
Oh,
this was
yeah.
later today. I want to say I can't remember what time it was, 11 or 12 o'clock maybe, and I was I think I was maybe wiping some sweat or something. I had thrown my frog out there by a bush, and I think I was maybe wiping some sweat off my forehead. For whatever reason, I took my eyes off my frog. Well, this fish explodes on it. Well, obviously, I hear the explosion, and I look up, and I thought I saw my frog still sitting there. And there was a leaf on the water is what it was. And
Oh, gosh.
I saw my frog still sitting there. So I haven't set the hook yet. Well, unknown to me, this fish had swallowed my frog, and he was 10 foot towards the boat by the time I realized that's not my
Wow.
frog. Where the hell is my frog? And it's going under my boat. So I reel down, and by the time I reel, I'm freaking out because I'm
Sure.
afraid the fish bit my frog at this point. I don't know how he got the frog. All I know is he's got it. And I reel down, and by the time I set the hook, there's still 3 or 4 foot of slack in my line. That's something. This fish put so much slack in my line so fast because, you've seen fish eat frogs and
Oh,
they
yeah.
don't stop when they eat them. They go.
Get going.
Sometimes they'll hesitate. They'll hang out if they're in a really thick grass mat. But these fish had pretty much open range, open water. So by the time I set the hook, there's too much slack in my line. I fight the fish for a second or two. It comes up near the boat, doesn't jump. It's maybe 6 inches under the surface, and I don't see my frog. It's gone. Completely inside the fish's throat. And the fish just opens its mouth and my frog comes flying out.
Oh
And
my
I
gosh.
don't think I ever hooked that fish, honestly. I think the fish had swallowed my frog, and when I set the hook, he was chomped, he was clamped, she was clamped down on it,
Yeah.
and my pressure just pulled her up next to the boat where she already basically was next to my boat.
Right.
And she just opened her mouth, frog came flying out. And hindsight's 20/20. That goes, when you're frog fishing and you're getting a bite every 45 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it was, it's a slow bite, it's a grind bite. You've got to be on your toes. You never take your eyes off that frog. If you want to wipe some sweat, get something to drink, whatever, make sure your frog's in the boat and it's not out there in the water.
Noted, noted.
And I just turned 40 this year. Maybe I'm losing my eyesight or something.
Oh, gosh.
I haven't had my eyes checked lately, but maybe I need to. So that one hurt. That one hurt a lot more than the one that morning. And I think my smallest fish I weighed in was a 210, and I don't remember what the difference was, a pound 14 ounces or something. So yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, pound 14 ounces. You're right on it.
Yep.
And it's amazing that a fish like that can bite down so hard, and you fight it for what seems an eternity, which may be
Yeah.
5, 10 seconds and all, and then it just is gone, and you're like,
Yep.
what just happened there? I said that Taylor has this problem, and we'll go into break from here, but Taylor has this problem, and she'll fight a fish, and she's. I set the hook and the fish is just gone,
All
and
the time.
it
No
happens to her all
need
the
to
time. She
rub it
gets so
in.
mad.
No need to rub it in. No need to rub it in.
So Matt just gave you an out. Daddy, the fish had it so tight that I just pulled her up beside the boat and she opened her mouth and it just came out. It
We're
was
not.
she was
We're.
never hooked.
I don't. My failures in fishing. I don't want to talk about these right now. Go to break. Go to.
I
Just
have
go to
to I
break.
have to make Matt feel better.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, y'all.
You're
I
welcome.
really appreciate it.
All
Go to
right. Well, yeah.
break.
We're gonna go to break. We're gonna come back with Matt Airy and wrap up this interview, which has been a really good one. Y'all hang on. Back with more Woods and Water South Carolina after the break. Don't touch it.
I'm not gonna say anything. Nope.
I mean, coming off the Bassmaster Classic, you gotta. I mean,
no.
Yes,
No.
you do.
No. No. No.
Y'all didn't hear this, but off the air, I was informed that Taylor is supposed to go dock light fishing with a boy. And she didn't ask. Matt, this is what you have to look forward to, my friend. This is what you have to look forward to.
At least
I'm locked mine up.
least I informed you and didn't just up and leave.
You should have asked me. And you're not taking the boat.
I'm with you, Pops, on this one. You got to ask. Don't inform.
It's fishing.
It's a boy.
I
don't care about
the
fishing.
I'm not going to go to a drive-in movie or something like that. I'm going fishing.
Okay, let's talk about this for just a second here, since you brought it up.
I know you don't want to.
Okay, drive-in movie, you're at least surrounded by other people in cars. Matt, how many dark coves at night are there on any given lake?
Look, I can say stuff that would probably scare you to death right now, Rob.
Matt,
I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. Hey, bass boat is that's some of the best dates of my life.
Matt,
you open this can of worms, young lady.
We caught a lot of fish. I had a good time.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Nice save.
That's all I need to know. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that.
No problem, brother.
Matt, if I end up not going tonight, you're going to get a text from me later.
That's okay.
Send him up here. Let me interview him, and then we'll talk about it.
Oh, please.
Oh, that's I could start that, couldn't I?
No.
Yes.
Absolutely. No. No.
We could get a bunch of us fishing dads together and start a service.
No.
To other dads with girls, we'll interview the boys. We'll form a committee. We'll have a rotating committee and we'll interview the boys and then give our recommendations.
We'll rank them.
Yeah, we'll rank them.
Yep.
Hot dog, Matt.
Don't we have an interview to finish?
You brought
it up.
We
could talk about this.
We're doing it with you right
That's
now.
Right.
Y'all, okay, why with me? Why do you?
You brought it up.
What y'all trying to get out of me?
You brought it up. All right. Do you have a...
No.
I love when I have my buddies on.
Stop.
Do you have a relevant question you'd like to ask our guest, Matt
Airy? I actually do. Thank you very much. You know, if you would, you know, stop flapping your lips and let me talk. So Championship Sunday, we all know that was definitely a close day. All day, you were so very close. It was between you and Hank.
And you were going to rub all the skin off your two thumbs.
Oh,
put
my
them
word.
Together.
Walking around the expo, I was there. I was checking my phone every like 5 minutes. And I had my hands together. Every time we stopped at a booth, I was just like, okay, time to check again.
She was a nervous wreck.
I mean, y'all were so close that entire day. So I know once you got in a weigh-in, I mean, you knew how you did that day. And, you know, you weighed in. You ended up getting into that hot seat for two anglers. What was going through your head while you were sitting in that seat waiting for the rest of them to weigh in?
You know, trying to enjoy the moment. I mean, I really was. I was trying to soak it all in because I in the back of my mind I felt like it wasn't enough, and I had come to peace with that because I had we had over an hour drive, and I hadn't told many people this, but you know, when I got in the truck when we took our boats out that afternoon before we started heading back towards Dickey's Arena there in Fort Worth, I look, you know, we're allowed to look at Bass Track once we check in.
Sure.
And I looked at Bass Track and I saw, you know, the unofficial, and those are never right. They're never accurate. You know, we all sandbag. That's obvious. some worse than others.
Some worse than I was fixing to say. There are degrees to sandbagging.
Yeah. No, I said some worse than others.
Yes.
But I said Patrick Walker. We'll give him crap because I kid you not. We're all, you know, most of us are a pound light, pound and a half light.
Sure.
Cameron and I are always a pound and a half light. And that's because, you know, we don't want to overshoot our weights because, you know, our wives, friends, family, sponsors are watching. We don't want to disappoint anybody. Right?
Sure.
So, you know, but Patrick, now that's a different ball game. You're talking 3.5 to 5.5 pounds every single. Perfect example. First day, Bassmaster Classic, 17 pounds on Bass Track, lays in 22. All right. And Patrick, phenomenal, unbelievable fisherman. Got a great career ahead of him, but.
Got to work on his ethics.
Got to work on his Bass Track ethics just a little bit. We'll try to sharpen his Bass Track skills because, you know, they pay $1,000 to the guy who's the most accurate on his Bass Track at each and every tournament.
Wow.
To try to make these guys not
sandbagging.
Gosh. And guys are still doing it. They don't even care about the $1,000. They're still doing it. And it's funny because some of the guys are like really weighing their fish now and making it, trying to win that grand, which I don't blame them, you know. But, you know, if I win it, great. If not, fine. But I don't take the time out to weigh each and every fish and try to calculate and
sure
throughout the tournament. But anyway, yeah, it was bittersweet. It was surreal. It was a lot of emotions running through your head. But when I left, after I checked Bass Track and I left the ramp for the first 30, 45 minutes, you know, I had a rough time just replaying things and thinking about what could have been and what should have been. And, you know, and if I hadn't had that hour drive and that extra hour, you know, out there in the boatyard waiting to weigh in, you know, I probably would have been a mess, because, you know, after about an hour, everything kind of settled and I just accepted it and, you know, tried to enjoy the moment from there on out.
Well, I mean, the adrenaline rush, I mean, when we went to launch Sunday morning, there was just, you could tell everybody was, you know, either they were huge adrenaline junkies that day or they were just, y'all were in the zone and you could feel the tension at launch. And I'm sure once the day was done, you sat there for a little bit, I'm sure that was, you know, kind of coming off that high and that nerve rush that y'all had. And so, yeah, I can see how that would affect you.
And your little talk with Mercer up there on stage was great.
Oh, it was.
That was great.
I appreciate that.
Man, and I know you've been told this a million times, and it's hard for other for it's hard, probably hard for you to listen to other people say it. Your time is coming. Mm-hmm. Your time is coming. I know, you know, my mom has several sayings that I just and she's 84, you know, and she still says it, and that's just a mom, and I'm sure you get the same reaction to people saying your time is coming, but it is, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
And we will be there.
Oh, yeah.
We will be there.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely. Real quick, about a minute. You got, well, we got more than a minute, but just take a minute. You got two stops on this in this year up north, and you're kind of in that, you know, real close to the line for making the classic on Hartwell. Got two small tournaments. Where do you think you're gonna have to finish in those two tournaments on average to make it? What do you think?
You know, I need to make both day three cuts.
Okay.
I feel like I need to make both day three cuts, and you know, mix it with one of those. Probably, you know, a top. I probably need to average a 35th to 40th place finish is what I'm thinking. Okay. So if I finish 45th in one and 30th in the other, I should fine. Be good. But I need to make both day three cuts and see how it plays out. But you know, we got some momentum. I've got a decent track record up north. You know, I've never made top tens up there, but I made a lot of top 30s, top 20s, things like that. And I'm comfortable up there. Got a lot of experience, and I always look forward to going up north in July or August because number one, it's a little bit cooler. number two, you know, obviously chock full of good quality smallmouth. Both fisheries are, and man, I love catching those things.
Kind of getting off the subject of the classic and upcoming tournaments.
But we've covered the classic.
Well, we have covered it.
Yeah.
Lunker Text.
Yeah.
I just heard about this. Tell us a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, so it's a really, really neat deal. Jeff Walsh, who is also our producer and basically the brainchild of Let's Talk Fish, our podcast, and he came up with this platform, and a friend of his or a guy that he knows has a platform called Line Text, and it's basically it's a text platform, and you sign up. It's free to sign up. You go to lunkertext.com, and you get a text. Usually we send out about 3 to 5 deals a week. You'll get the text to your phone. It'll be a deal. Mostly, you know, it's all fishing tackle. It's all it is. And you'll get a deal, and that deal will be anywhere from 30 to 60% off retail. It'll be a bundle deal. It'll be like we sent one the other day. Actually, I'll,
give us an example.
Let me just tell you what our deal was. So this was, here it is. Okay. So this was a 10-inch B2 worm, which is a Big Bite Baits Pro Series worm.
Okay.
Kind of like a monster worm. 4-pack bundle, 4 packs of them, 8-count pack, in June bug color. The retail price is $15.96. The Lunker Text price was $6.38.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. So, you know, that's the kind of deals that we send out, 3 to 5 deals a week. We sent out a Lunker Hunt Popping Frog deal, retail price $22.67. Lunker Text price was $13.67.
Wow.
So that's the kind of money that we're able to save people. We, you know, when you get a deal, you see the savings, you see the retail pricing, you got pictures of what you're getting. Okay. You got a description of it, how to use it, tips on, you know, it's a really cool deal. And all you do, wow, when you get the text, you respond with a number, number one, two, three, whatever it is. And we've got all your information and we ship it directly to your doorstep and no more actions needed. So it's the easiest, most convenient way that you've ever seen to buy fishing tackle and save a lot of money at the same time. Now, if you don't want the deal, just don't respond. It's that simple.
That's pretty cool. Don't sign up, Taylor.
It's free to sign up. Sign up now. Free to sign up.
She's like a no. She'd be a shopping junkie. She'd be ordering one, two, or three of everything came across.
You don't have to enter a credit card, but just grab Rogers.
Yeah.
Taylor, go ahead and enter it. So you're free to buy whatever you want.
Thank you. Got about 30 seconds. Let's talk fish. Man, long running thing. It's a great podcast to watch on Facebook and listen to otherwise. How are things going over there?
That's great. You know, unfortunately with Brian Thrift, who my co-host with Let's Talk Fish is, you know, he fishes the BPT tour. So right. Our schedule's been very conflicting this year. We haven't had as many episodes in 2021 as we want, but we're picking up steam now because the seasons are starting to draw down a little bit and we're having some more time at home. Had a phenomenal episode this past Wednesday with Hank Cherry. The studio, and you know, we have a YouTube channel. They can go on and subscribe and watch some of the archive shows, but we're on all the podcast platforms, and obviously Facebook Live is where we typically go live. We're thinking about transitioning over to YouTube Live because okay. Facebook's been quite a mess lately and it's been tricky anyway we're trying to find the best platform that everybody's you know, happiest with and they have the easiest access to.
Cool.
But it's been great. It's been great.
Good. Matt, thanks for being on the show. Folks, thanks for tuning in and listening. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back road you can.
And don't forget the camera. See you back here next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to